Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for all the mothers, yeah? Yeah, without you, we wouldn't be here, any of us. You know, I every year, and I'm not gonna make an excuse for it, but God, you ever notice how, like, even in Revelation, God usually, the most important thing that he wants to tell us usually comes at an end of what he's saying. If you look at the way the verses are written, and I was thinking the last thing he wrote to us in Revelation was, surely I come quickly. You know, why didn't he put, okay, hang on there, guys. You're going to have a rough go of it, but everything will be good someday. He just said, surely I come quickly. That's what he wants us to know. Well, he also gave us in Proverbs, and if you turn to Proverbs 31, I think he took the time, the Holy Spirit, to write these words of King Lemuel that his mother taught. And I don't think he just threw it in there for a nice thing to read once a year, but I think he wanted to honor mothers over an awful mother of other things that get honored in this world. So today, for the mothers, for those of us whose moms have gone on, either in life itself, to be with the Lord, for those of you that are still here, who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10 of Proverbs 31? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of a husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. Unfortunately, now Amazon does that, or Grubhub. But I think that's even given moms a little break there, you know. So she rises also while it is yet night, gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out a hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid, verse 21, of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Double garments is what that is. Remember Christmas Story?
Yes.
Wasn't that all of us? Moms put hats on us and extra clothes, and that was deep concern for every one of us, for our well-being. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. Rise up, men. Get up. We don't have such an important spot at the gate, you and I, anymore. It's time, I think, for the men to heed what's being said here, for those of us who have wives still, or mothers, who are mothers to our children. It's time for the men of Christ to stand up and take their rightful spot. She makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Always busy. Do you ever notice your mom? Some of us who go back to that generation, they were always busy. I never recall my mom just sitting around eating bonbons and watching as the stomach turns. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Family, share with your mom today one way or the other. If she's passed, stop and just thank the Lord for the mom that you were given, even if she might not have been the mom that some of us wanted or whatever. we're still here because of that. And if mom is still there, praise her. Thank her for everything she's done. Try to think of those things that we just let go every day. Clean underwear, socks. Well, we let, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. I started thinking, my gosh, I never had to yell, where's my socks? They were folded and put together and in drawers and shirts and things that we just... So thank you, moms. And thank you to the moms that we've had. Wonderful women of God. All right, so we're in Hebrews 11. It's been quite a ride so far. Anybody really getting inspired in a sense, or maybe taking a new look at faith in a way that, again, just like moms, sometimes we just take it for granted. We just, oh yeah, I'm saved. Oh, you know. Everything that we read in this chapter 11, I've been really, I'm not saying it's changed me. It has the ability to change me if I stop digging my heels in and be a little bit more willing and a little bit more obedient. But this chapter in itself is just giving us these great examples of not only who they were, who we could be, being all we could be in God. And it reminded me of, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 3:17, it says all scripture, every bit of it. So Old Testament, New Testament, everything that's in there is given by inspiration of God. For reproof, correct us. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The reason I think that we're in this section is we're going to need this faith in Jesus Christ more than we ever had in our lives. Not to be taken for granted. A faith that, even though mine is weak, we're going to see in these individuals that God chose to put in his hall of fame, even through their faults and some of their sidesteppings, shortcomings, God used them to fulfill his purpose. That could be you or me. Could be anybody. Anybody that he chooses. So I hope that we can take heart and encouragement from some of these faith heroes that we have before us. Not that we'll ever do the same works that they did. God doesn't have that, I don't think, for any of us. He's done that stuff already. Now he's got something special for you. He's got something special for you and you and you. And all he wants us to do is trust him enough to step out and do it. But we have trouble with that in this life that we live because there's so many distractions. There's so many disappointments. There's so many things crying for every minute of our time, isn't it? Health, finance, money, children, neighbors, jobs, cars, the lawn, the raccoons that get in the trash today before I come to church that I got to pick up. Yeah. All these things. Somehow I feel that the enemy can use them against us so that we don't hear the voice of God saying, oh, man of faith, oh, you woman of faith. Wow. Could it be that powerful? So Hebrews 11:20 is where we are. Let's get going. We'll read just one verse today. And what I've been trying to do is all scripture has been given to us, as we just heard. 2 Timothy 3:3, you can read that when you get home. If every bit of it was given to us, then that means, and you know, correction, reproof, which one you might need for doctrine, for just for becoming a righteous individual as much as we can in these bodies of flesh. There'll never be sinless perfection. Not saying that. But I know that we can become more of an image of Christ when people look at us. One verse, and I thought, well, let me combine 20, 21, 22. No, if it's all given, I want to know, why did you put Isaac in 20? Maybe we're going to find that out today if I stop going. So Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I thought, man, that's, what are we supposed to get out of that? And I sat and I sat and I thought about it and I looked and nothing was coming. And all of a sudden, that last night, I went back and I started reading from Genesis 12 to Genesis 35, the little stories about Isaac and looking at his life. So today, get ready, settle in. We're going to do all those chapters. We're not, but I beg you, please, read it. Oh, we know the story of Isaac, and we know the story of Jacob and Esau, right? And he's the guy that sold his birthright for a pot of stew, and there's so much more in here. So much more in there for us to ask God, but just this one. God, why? Why are you giving me, whoever you are today, this one verse about Isaac blessing his two children concerning things to come? So we know that there's not much said about Isaac in those things. He's in there, but there's not a whole lot of detail. There's not a whole lot of history about him. We see that, you know, he was an obedient son last week when his dad wanted to sacrifice him because the Lord heard that. Can you imagine? Most of our younger generation, and even some of us, we complain about our parents. My dad was crazy. Not mine, but this is the nefarious day. My dad was crazy. Oh, he gave me timeouts just because I didn't clean my room. Can you imagine standing there with Isaac? And Isaac is going, my old man was going to kill me because he heard a voice. He could have been like that, but he wasn't. He watched his father. He looked at his father. Did his father's life and his words line up? And I think the answer was yes, they definitely did. And when it came to that time for him to try to decide who he was, where he's going, what he knew, I'm going to follow this God that my father does. There's something there. And I pray that comes out in a lot of us today. He was willing and he was obedient. You could look at that in Genesis 22:1. Great story in there. Read it about when God asked Abraham to take his only begotten son and sacrifice him. I can't even imagine. But there was willingness on not only Abraham's part, but on Isaac's part. He could have ran, like I said last week. He could have said, see ya, I'm out of here. He was obedient. And he was willing to see what was going on. So read that, Genesis 22:1, you'll get a better story. But I feel he's in there also to give us hope. Because Isaac was a liar, just like his father. When you get to read that, you'll find that. He told a couple of fibs. Anybody ever told a lie? If your hand's not up, you're lying right now. So, I mean, come on, you know, even just one. It gives us hope. He was a liar. He favored one child over the other, which you'll see in that story, which most people say, oh, no, no, no. I love all my children the same. He favored one over the other. And I think I saw this one movie once where the dad had two girls and they were going off to school. And he said, okay, girls, have a nice day. And remember, I love one of you more than the other. And he walked away, and I thought, that'll keep them on their toes, probably, you know, a statement like that. But this guy really did it. This, you know, Abraham, Isaac, he did favor one above the other, even in his blessing, but that was a God thing. Classic dysfunctional family. So as we sit here today and think, yeah, that's real good when you had a great mom and your dad was perfect and, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, this is a perfect dysfunctional family, and you'll see even more situations in there. But God has given us Isaac today as an example of lifelong faith. Not just flash in the pan. How many people do we know that say, oh yeah, I tried trusting in Christ one time. I went to church for a little while, but gee, you know, nothing ever worked. My prayers never were answered. This happened. Nah, they're all hypocrites. Whatever the statements are, Isaac is given to us today as an example of lifelong faith. Lifelong. From the beginning right to the very end, you'll see in 35 when Isaac does pass and his children bury him, he was a man of God all the way through. That takes something special. He never saw the promises, did he? No. Never saw the promises of a whole nation coming. Could have laughed. Yeah, my old man, oh, he was a gold miner, and he just, oh, want 10 more feet, and we're going to hit the mother load 10 more feet, and we're going to get, and that's, you know, we come from a mining area, and anybody ever knew a miner? Danny, how many times have you heard that? 10 more feet, man, we got it. All the signs are there. They believed it so hard in the physical. And here is a child that all of his life knew that his dad believed this. I'm going to keep on going. So he never saw the promises, but believed. And not only that, but he passed them on to his children, Isaac, to Jacob, and to Esau. He passed those promises and blessings on. He messed up just like us, you're going to see. But God used him in fulfilling his promises. He had faith until the end of his life. 180 years. Aren't we glad, Tommy, after talking about our bodies today, how I couldn't go another 100 years, you know? Not a chance. So when I look at this story, and I guess I'm going to ask all of you that do it or not, when you go home and there's nothing good on the TV or you got nothing to read or anything, read this story and ask God, what's in this for me? Well, what I got for an answer, I said, what are you showing me one verse for, Lord? And what I felt I got back was, now that you've read about his life and you saw what happened and he never received the promise whatsoever that was given to him, that he was going to inherit, a great nation was going to come from him, yet he believed. And I thought, well, how do I handle disappointments? So that's the point of where I feel I have to go today and want to go. How do I feel? And you ask it. Some of you know how Doug handles disappointments. Sometimes I handle them real good. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say I'm a pastor. That flesh just rises up. And I let things go to points where they shouldn't. Or I start to think, well, maybe I had this wrong. Maybe this isn't for me. How do you handle disappointments? How do you handle delays in God's promises? Because not everything is a yes or a no. Some are wait, aren't they? Some prayers we say, Don, today, Nate, Seth, bing, it happens. Some of them are no, because we're asking improperly, maybe. Others are wait, but boy, we hate the wait, don't we? Hate the wait. So how do I handle disappointments or delays is what I would hope we all ask God, and he could help us with it. When my prayers and God's promises aren't realized immediately or in the here and now, like, I've been waiting on this for 2 weeks, Lord. I've been praying about this for a month. I've been waiting, you know, look, I'm 74 and I haven't seen this yet, you know. How do I handle that in my faith with my Lord so that one day that poem that he is writing about each and every one of us, see, you're his workmanship. The Greek word says poema. I've said this numbers of times. God has written a poem about each one of us. How is my poem going to sound at that day when I stand before my Lord? I hope he says it to us. Way better than Craig memorizing the Jabberwocky. He knows the whole Jabberwocky. That to me is still unbelievable. So how do I handle delays or disappointments in the here and now? And will I continue to worship my God? As we see this, we see Isaac, we see Jacob. Next week he's leaning on his staff because he's so old and decrepit and given up that he's still leaning on the promises of God. Will I continue to worship my God in my disappointments or his supposed delays in the things that I'm asking him? We all face disappointments when God's work with our lives, because I don't know if this comes new to anybody, but I haven't said it to myself in a long time. You are, don't you know you're not your own? You were bought with a price, therefore glorify God with my whole being. That's a word of God, just like John 3:16. That one should stop us in our tracks. So we all face disappointments when God's work and my wants and desires don't line up. What do I do? What's my choices? Do I revert back to my old ways? Do I revert back to the flesh? Do I get my point across by anger? Do I get my point across by stomping my feet and crying and whining? But you promised, but you promised. How many have ever heard that from their child? Or how many of you have said that to your parents? How will I, what is the choice that I have today? Revert back to those old ways, or like Isaac, worship my God until I've got no breath left? It's your breath in my lungs. Am I trusting and believing in this God as Isaac did by faith, even though mine is weak and his is beyond what we can even think of? Or am I worshiping God, his son Jesus, the gifts and promises, by my own feelings? I mean, it was a pretty simple question. It was very striking for me because I had to answer them honestly sitting there. Am I worshiping God by faith? And we all learned what faith was in Hebrews 11:1. Or am I worshiping God by my feelings? Well, I feel, you know, I feel he's not listening. I feel that's not going to work. I feel that's too big of a prayer for a guy like me. I don't think, which way is it? Very simple choice. There's no in between. His word or my thoughts? Jeremiah 29, my thoughts are way, way bigger than your thoughts. My ways are way higher than anything you guys could ever come up with. So what I wanted to do is where I went, share it with you, maybe to lead you someplace else. Turn to Psalm 34. It might lead you somewhere else in your question of asking God, what is in my life that you want me to see and you'd like to see like Isaac's? And I think it's just, it's longevity. That's, you know, it's not giving up. Don't give up. So I don't know who in here today might be feeling like you've had it, you're done, you're ready to give up. I'm not sure about you. You're worshiping on feelings, not on faith. What can help me then? What can help me, as we just heard in Timothy, remember, to get through this, to not worship God in bursts of, you know, little oozy stuff, just little bursts. What can keep me going until the day God keeps me home? It's his word. It's that simple. It's not the IRA. It's not the right wife or husband or house or car or job or health. Those things, they're involved in our lives every day. But what can get me to this point in Hebrews 11, in a sense? And it's only God's word. So I said, turn to Psalm, 34? Disappointments, remember, Isaac had them. Delays, never saw the promise, yet he kept worshiping. He was a champ, passed it on to his children. His children passed it on to their children. Long-lasting faith that just doesn't help me and you out of our troubles, but it will sustain our families and our children and hopefully those that are around us. Proverbs, Psalms 34, verse 1 says, "And I will bless the Lord at all times." Oh, in disappointment and delay? Will I really say, you know, oh, gee, I was supposed to get that job, but now I'm not getting it. Lord, what are you doing? Oh, maybe you've got something better for me. Could be a response. "But I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." You know, and I was looking at, what are you doing, Lord? Which is so human to ask him that question, but that's not praise, is it? That's not praise. You made a promise to me. Bless him. Continue to bless him, even though the delays or the disappointments continue around us. And let's see what happens. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears, not just from some of them. And it might not happen here. Remember, I said disappointments and delays. We might not see those promises here. We're supposed to know this, but have I accepted that? And when he says that he'll deliver me from all my fears, one day when these eyes close and they open up again in an instant, we'll be standing in front of him. All my fears are gone at that point. They're done. The thoughts of this world and all the troubles and the burdens, they're over with. Am I looking at that day? They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Think about what God has delivered you out of already. Why would he stop now? They're not happening right away, maybe, but why? He's not going to stop. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So disappointments and delays, how do I handle them? Start to read this. Taste, even if it looks impossible, take a taste. Take a taste. Even I have tried cream spinach. I hate it. Pooh, it's like wet Scott towels from St. Patty's Day. But I tasted it. I gave it a taste. Please give him a taste. You know, just taste and see that he's good. Blessed is the one that trusts him, and trust him with the real hard disappointment, the real long delay, not just the little quick thing like, oh, find me a parking spot, Lord, you know. And I hear laughs because I know you've done it. Oh, praise God, right in the front, you know. I wish I had a handicap sticker. You know, I could be one parking space closer in my walk. I mean, you know, that's who we are when disappointments and delays come into our thinking how God should work. Proverbs, we all know this one. We should probably have it by heart. Proverbs 3. So it just said, blessed is that man that trusts him in the disappointments, in the delays. And we've had this over the last couple of months, but in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this is, you know, put my name in there. Trust in the Lord with all my heart, not just parts of it or what I think I can figure out or what seems like this can happen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, because we are messed up, every one of us in a way. We think that God thinks like we do. We think that because I feel that this should go this way, that's how God ought to do it, because I'm his child and I'm praying. Trust in him with all of our heart. Don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. That's what Isaac did. The guy's ready to die in a little while in the story, but here he is blessing his sons for this nation that's to come, which every one of us are really enjoying the fruit of that. Do we understand that? Wasn't just the nation Israel, but it's us. And he was there at the last day, and they're saying, well, Pop, what are you doing? He blessed them. He had that long, lasting faith. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Isaiah 40. Trust in him. Trust sometimes takes delay, doesn't it? But if you've got a concordance, later on this week you can look up when God speaks about his promises. I forget how many times I got the other night, but he said they will not delay. They might delay for us, because I want it this. I want it by Monday morning, or else I'll go another direction. He says, my promises will not delay. Well, do you see how many of those will not delays are in there? But the trusting takes patience, doesn't it? The trusting in disappointments and delays in our life takes a belief higher than my own into someone who I can't see, I can't hear him, I can't feel him, but yet I know for some reason that it's true. Well, his promise there that won't delay in 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And that renew is change. You're going to change. And I don't know about you, but as I look around here, I knew a lot of you guys and gals before the Lord. There's a change. Something happened where you're a real good actor. But I think it really happened. God changed something in your life. And that was because of just asking him, but then I think waiting and seeing his promises one by one being fulfilled. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Fly, run, and walk. It's a long pattern, isn't it? When we were youths, we were flying, weren't we? We came in here and we built this whole room, and we had men in here, ladies cooking food. We were slamming up sheetrock painting. Man, we were flying. And then we started slowing down a little bit in the flight, and we came down, and we still ran like crazy. Well, now he's saying the disappointments, the delays, they are going to come. They will not delay. But now he wants us to walk and not faint. Because why? Because when his promises aren't realized, the disappointment comes in, the delays in God's order come into my mind, and I give up. And that's what fainting is. I'm going to go. I'm done. Maybe that's someone in here today. I don't know. James, this might be. No, let's do two more. James chapter 1, same thing again. But Lord, you don't understand how much I need this. But Lord, however we respond to him, I don't need this delay. I don't need this disappointment in my life. Says James, a servant of God, and that's what every one of us are. And there's a mirror right by the men and ladies' room back there with a sign that says, want to know what a servant looks like? And it's right in front of the mirror. So we're all servants. We're all saints. Don't ever miss either one of those. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, and that's many testings, many different things that just don't seem like God is working. If we look at it the right way, he's saying he can turn these around either now or down the road somewhere, if not in eternity, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience, that means we can let it. We don't like it. I don't like to have to wait. Do you? Anybody really like waiting? No. That's why we as kids all snuck around our parents' bedrooms looking for Christmas presents. We couldn't wait. Didn't you do that? And you'd shake the box if they wrapped them for you. And we don't, there's no patience anymore. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith. Here's that faith again. Lord, I know you promise this, so give me the faith to endure. Give me the faith that I won't give up, is what we're learning from Isaac today. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Unstable. So what is that telling us with Isaac? He hung on right to the end believing. So if I ask and I don't have the patience to wait in my disappointments or the trust and faith in God that he is going to have his promise come, I'm unstable in everything then. If I don't have that one, I don't have any of these in a sense. Oh, we might be able to buy them, purchase them. A good day will come every once in a while. But what God is saying is, your life's out of order, Doug. You're unstable. You're not grounded in one area, heading in one direction. And that one direction that we're heading, as we've been seeing, is heaven. Delay is not denial. God's delay is not denial. But I think it's a time to prepare me for God's promises when they come, if that makes sense to you. God delaying and asking, I'm asking, and I don't see it. God, it's disappointing. the delay is just not going to happen. What? It's not because God isn't. It's because God is trying to get Doug ready for when this promise comes, if it might be just heaven. That, you know, hopefully I got 10. What do you think, Doc? How many more years we got? He won't sign a paper. I've done this to him before. He won't tell me that. You know, give me the whole farm and promise me I got 30 years. He would not write that. None of us know. But just give me the faith that will last until the day I go home. God has a plan for each of us. As we saw with Isaac, God has a plan for each one of us and our children. Amen. Don't miss that, please. Because Isaac, being the child of Abraham, Isaac passing on the blessing to Jacob and Esau, to Joseph, will continue to go on. God has a plan for every one of you in here, whether you want to believe it or not. That's not going to stop God's plan to a degree. He's got a plan for every one of us. He's got a plan for our children. He's got a plan for my great-grandchildren. I got four of them. And I see the world going up. Can I say hell? Going to hell in a handbasket. What do my great-grandchildren have? What do they have to look forward to? I hope that they have, and with yours and your children and grandchildren, that they can remember, my dad lived his faith. He had a faith beyond what he sees out there and all the rest of the stuff. God has a plan for us, our children, and our children's children. Amen. It's going to happen. All we have to do is have faith in him who is faithful, that those promises are yea and amen. What we got right now, I said two, let's do one more, Ephesians. What we have right now, as bad as any one of us are at this moment, we got more than most people that we can point a finger out there that are living on a street in a box, crossing waters, you know. We got more, and we don't see it because we have something else that we're disappointed in, that there's a godly delay in right now. And God, you promised, just like he promised to Abraham, you're going to get this nation. It's going to be something. Isaac's going to get, you know, just keep. We can't buy that program. We want it right now, but we have it right now. So in Ephesians 1:1-3, Paul, an apostle, and then, you know, he was saying before he was a servant. Another point, he says he's a saint. Here he is now saying he's an apostle, one sent. We are not apostles in a sense of what they were back then, but we are also his disciples, his apostles, being sent into a world that is having nothing but disappointments, delays, no hope, and we are being sent there because of the God that we trust and believe in, to show somebody that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace. And his grace is sufficient. We might not think it today, but it's going to carry you through. It's going to get you to another point. We might not realize it when it's happening, but I think once we're through it, we're going to see it. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Who, mine says in the King James, hath. Does yours say has? Yeah. Has. What does has mean to any of us? Like Bill Clinton said, well, it depends on what the definition of is. It is. It's is, you know. What is has? That means I got it. I got it. Blessed be him who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what Isaac saw. That's what he saw. Not all the other stuff that was going on. Not the deception within his own children, how he was tricked by his wife and all these things that send us into all these different areas we don't belong. He realized, my God said it, I got it, and it might be up there. So don't give up is what I got out of Isaac. Verse 20, one little verse. Don't give up. God's not done. And it's not just about you, Doug, as Pat always tells me. I'm starting to believe it. But it's for your children, and it's your children's children, and whatever might come. You believe it. You stand on it. You lean upon your crutches, your wheelchair, or whatever else it might be until the day God takes us home, and I feel we will see the promises. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Just help us to, in our own ways, Lord, to see you, what you are saying and what you're not saying. And these disappointments that this life, Lord, we have just begun in the realm of disappointment. Help us to be able to stand. And if we can't stand, that we might lean on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll stand and worship the Lord. Mm-hmm.